Welcome to another episode of Roll or Die. We love the Portuguese accent here. We've just had a recent guest with one. Now we have another one coming on today. He's coming to you from Northern New South Wales. He is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He is about to open up his own academy, Evolve BJJ. We have had his lovely wife, Tara, on previously on an episode about 2 years ago. He is Igor Rocha. Thanks for joining us, Igor.
Yeah, thanks, guy. My pleasure. Always good to spread jiu-jitsu somehow, either through a podcast or teaching classes. It's always good.
Awesome, man. Have you been on many podcasts before? Is this the kind of thing that happens a lot for you?
No, that's actually my very first one.
Woo!
No.
All
Yeah,
right,
I
man.
never did it. New
Happy
experience. Amazing.
to
That's great.
help. So you have the beautiful Portuguese accent. So you came from Brazil, yeah? You
Yeah.
started jiu-jitsu in Brazil, or what
Yeah.
brought you to Australia? How did you end up here?
I started jiu-jitsu in Brazil, but I had the idea to come to Australia way before that because I was a surfer before. I'm still a surfer, but that's how initially I wanted to come to Australia, like where my idea came from. It's pretty much, just growing up and watching all these Australian idols like Mick Fanning and Joe Parks and all that, and following their careers and surf videos, and I always saw that Australia had amazing waves. And just like Indonesia as well. So I knew that they are kind of close to each other, and then I knew that if I came here, I could do both in the same trip. So initially, I didn't plan to leave in Australia to come and stay. It was meant to be just a little holiday because I came to Australia after I finished a law degree in Brazil. So when I finished university, I wanted to just to travel for a little bit before, you start working and you get really busy and then you don't really have time anymore to do like a longer trip. So I planned this 6 month trip, pretty much coming to Australia and then going to Indonesia to surf. And then I came. I loved the country, absolutely loved it. And then I didn't want to go back, so I just called my parents and say, "Hey, I'm actually staying here." But I came here as a blue belt. So I started in Brazil through a friend that was a surfer as well. He was a professional surfer, and he started training jiu-jitsu. And then he was loving it. He was just talking about it all the time, and then he was convincing me to train. And then one day, I was like, "Yeah, I'll give it a go one day, this and that." But not taking that seriously. And then one day I went to surf and the waves were just crap. Like there was no waves at all. So, and he used to live just right at the beach in an apartment building. And he said, "Oh, no, we're just going to train jiu-jitsu at my apartment building here. I have some mats. We're going to put the mats down and a few friends are coming. You can try if you want." I was like, "Yeah, okay." So I went there and then I first started watching them and trying to understand what was going on because, it's just so different when you don't really understand. You just see people hugging each other on the floor. You don't really know what's the final goal of that. And then he explained to me, well, I was like, "Yeah, okay, I'll try." And then he explained what was like a guard pass and, what was a guard and side control and mount. I was like, "Just try to get to this position and try to avoid someone getting these positions on you." I was like, "Okay. So just try to push them off, use your legs, this and that." So I just give it a go. And of course, like I didn't really know what I was doing. I was just acting by instinct with no technique at all. But I just loved it. Yeah, from the first moment, I was just, wow, I was like, I'm hooked. I loved it. And then that was on a weekend. And also I told him on Monday, I'm going to the gym with you. And then I did. Yeah, on Monday, pretty much, I went to the gym with him and then I signed up. And then since this Monday, I train every single day, pretty much. Like I
Wow.
got really hooked, like from the very
So how old were you when that all happened? How old was that starting moment?
beginning. Yeah, I remember I was 24, 1 week away from my 25th birthday, so it was
Right.
nearly 25. Yeah, so I
Wow.
remember I know that my jiu-jitsu anniversary is always 1 week before my actual birthday.
Cool,
Yeah.
man. That's
So I
brilliant.
actually, yeah, so I didn't start as a teenager or as a kid or really young like that. I
Yeah.
started after like in my mid-20s already.
That's
Yeah.
still pretty young to us. for our listeners before we started recording. Igor was asking Anton and I how we started jiu-jitsu, which we were pretty chuffed with, because I don't think anybody's actually asked us how we started jiu-jitsu. So, I mean, I can answer that. I started, you say that you were young, you were old. I feel like you were still pretty young, because I was 34 when I started jiu-jitsu. So I started like quite a bit later than a lot of people. My ex-husband had done it back in the day, and I knew of it. So I thought, oh, what's a good way to sort of social aspect of exercising with people? And yeah, that's when I thought, oh, jiu-jitsu, yeah, that's a good thing. But for me personally, I didn't love it straight away. I know some people just fall in love immediately. I thought it was pretty confronting, especially as a female. It's quite hard to be in that situation in such close contact with people, but definitely has a very addictive quality to it, that's for sure. So yeah, I'm a bit the same as you. Like 10 years later, I still haven't stopped training. So yeah, Anton, you say yours.
Yeah, I was 2 years older even than you, Kim, when I discovered jiu-jitsu. I was 36 and I was watching the UFC. It wasn't the beginning of the UFC. It was a fair way in. But when I found the UFC, they were kind of getting, like they were educating the fans about jiu-jitsu, you know? And I was like, I like that, but I was more focused still on the striking. And so I was doing this kind of, I was at an MMA gym and I was more focused on the striking, and the jiu-jitsu was still very important there, but not as important as the striking. And then after, you know, getting, as a 36-year-old man, getting beaten up by like 20-year-olds, like one guy punched me in the ribs and I was like out for like 6 months with like rib injuries and shit. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? So then, you know, like I gravitated towards jiu-jitsu and never looked back. And now, like, I think it's a lot of years now, 15 years, 16 years of just loving jiu-jitsu. And there's just nothing else I'd rather do to stay fit and active. I feel like I can, like, my main motivation is that I'm surrounded by amazing people, but I can just eat whatever I want as well. I can eat whatever I want and I can train it off, you know, and love training it off. So that's what keeps me going. It's just awesome. Ah, so there you go.
But did you get referred to a friend to try jiu-jitsu after you had this other experience?
I was more like a leader to my friends. I was like, I'd get them all around to watch the UFC or whatever. I was always pushing for that. I was drinking a lot back then as well, personally. I was like, let's go train this shit. We got to train this. And so, yeah, they'd all come for a class or two and drop away, you know. So, and I found myself alone on this journey many times.
speaking of Igor, your lovely wife Tara is a yogi, and just wondering, speaking about diet and things like that, how does that affect you guys? Are you guys very kind of holistic and into the very you know, clean eating and things like that, and spirituality and all of that side of things? Or is it she does her thing and you do your thing, quite separate?
No, I actually eat whatever she cooks, because I don't like cooking. So, but it's a good thing, because she's really healthy and I'm healthy as well. We are, I would say that a healthy couple. Yeah. Mm. In that sense that we both love to train, and I like to eat clean as well. I like to feel good, you know, in my body. Mm. And I feel that like if I'm sleeping off with my diet, I just don't feel the same. And I don't feel the same in the training room, and also like on my daily routine as well. You know, you just don't feel as good as you should when you're eating clean and, you know, avoiding junk food and this sort of stuff, which for me is not a challenge, because I actually don't really like junk food. It's not that for me, like, you know, some people they love, but they have to avoid eating because, you know, it's not healthy and all that. In my case, I don't love, like, I actually prefer to eat clean and healthy. Of course, like, I like chocolate, this sort of stuff, but if it's not that, not that much, I don't like to eat too much. Like, I eat 2 pieces of chocolate and I'm done, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like that. So for me, it's not a challenge. And then when I got together with Tara, and then that increased, like improved even more, because she's really healthy as well. Mm. So, you know, so it works well for both of us.
Now, I've got a question about that in a second. But before I do that, a quick timeout. Some of our listeners don't know where we're available. So we're making a point now to tell people we're on Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, where else? All the all the podcast platforms,
all the streaming platforms, as well as Facebook. So we upload this to Facebook, we upload it to Instagram, but maybe some of our listeners don't know. You can get us anywhere that you can find podcasts, and we've been doing this for close to 4 years now. So we're nearly at episode 200 catching us. So yeah, we've got a very big back catalogue. So any of our listeners want to go back and listen, take a listen. We've got a heap of other episodes out there.
Thanks, Igor, for that, man. We had to stick a little ad in here because we have not been doing that.
Of course.
All right. Yeah. So you and Tara, where did you guys meet? Because like, was it jiu-jitsu related? Was it just, I don't know, in a nightclub? Where did you guys meet?
Yeah, well, it was at the gym, was training pretty much, because we moved to Byron Bay. So we met each other in Byron Bay at the gym there, that back then used to be called Extreme MMA. Now it's where the academy is, where we were training just until we moved to Port Macquarie. We sort of moved to Byron Bay at the same time, but I was coming from Brazil and she was coming from Sydney. So, you know, we met each other in the training room and then pretty much just friends in the beginning. And then eventually after a few months down the road, you know, we got closer and closer in training. And then eventually, like, we went out, like, with friends, you know, like, you know, after training, this sort of stuff. And then we got to know each other more and more. And then eventually, pretty much, you start dating. Yeah. I remember I called her on a date. We went to one of the pubs there, had a meal, had a few drinks, and then yeah, everything started from there.
Awesome, man. A few drinks always gets a relationship going.
It always helps.
You guys have traveled the world a fair bit, yeah? Because I follow you on Instagram and always quite envious of your. Is that often for your surfing as well? You get to do a bit of surfing in your travels?
Yeah, sometimes, most of the times I do. Before Tara, I would say that, yeah, probably 100% of my trips were all surf related because I was just like I'm addicted now in jiu-jitsu. I was addicted in surfing before. I used to compete and all that and kind of take it seriously. So, yeah, pretty much in Brazil, all the trips I've done, unless it was something like to visit family, you know, out in the country, something like that. All my trips that I would go would be pretty much just to go into different surf beaches, pretty much to surf. And then, so that was a big passion for me to travel. Like I always had this dream of traveling, you know, and see the places that I always saw just on videos, you know, on films, movies, this sort of stuff. So I always wanted to know. And then Tara has the same passion as well. She really likes traveling. So when we got together, then we did Europe a few times. We did Brazil couple of times as well. We did Asia a few times. So going to Bali together to surf as well, like Bali, you know, Lombok, all those Indonesian islands. So yeah, we travel a lot. We like to travel. Up until COVID, we were traveling once every year, pretty much kind of overseas, going overseas for 1 or 2 month trip. When you go to Brazil, it's kind of 2 month trip because it costs nothing for me to be there with my family, pretty much. Nice. So it's more affordable. And then when we go to a place like Europe or Indonesia, we stay probably for a month or sometimes even like 2 or 3 weeks, depending where we can. Yeah. So
and what about setting up your gym? So this is like you're at the start of a journey. You've never owned a gym before, right? This is your first gym.
Experience as a business owner.
Wow. Okay. So talk a bit about like your key takeaways so far, or what's surprising you, or, you know, what you're liking or not liking or whatever. Just talk a bit about the whole business setup side of things.
And what made you set up a gym to start with as well?
Yeah. So yeah, what made me set up was just, I had the dream of, I think since probably a blue belt, I could see myself one day getting a black belt and being a coach. Just because I love, like I told you guys, I love jiu-jitsu from the first class, pretty much. So, and then I came to Australia, and then I was like, yeah, there's a market for that. So I knew the potential to set up that, and I see the transformation on people's lives. I'm really passionate about that, about seeing people improving. I've seen people come into the gym really shy, you know, not a lot of self-esteem, not many friends, which is really common, unfortunately. And then, you know, if you have a good environment at the gym, it completely changes people's lives. You know, all of a sudden, everyone at the gym are your mates. You're hanging out with them on the weekends. You know, they are having more confidence. They are getting shape. They are learning self-defense. So I love everything about that. So because of these things, I always wanted to have my own gym. I didn't want, for example, like just to have a shop to make money. You know, like something that wouldn't bring like a. Oh, of course, no problem with that at all. But it was just I didn't have the that kind of goal of having something like that, just because I'm not passionate about it. But then with the gym, yeah, of course, because of all these things, and I love jiu-jitsu. I love teaching jiu-jitsu and I love to train jiu-jitsu. I love to be on the mats. You know, people come ask me questions sometimes after class. I stay with them for like 30 minutes or 1 hour after class, just, you know, talking about jiu-jitsu and showing positions and this and that, just because I love it. And the challenges of opening a business is just all the bureaucracy, all the paperwork, everything you have to you know, how always have to deal with the council. Like in our case, it's a big town, but it's still a town, Port Macquarie. So, you know, you have to get really involved with the council for everything you do. And then, you know, all the money involved as well is always a challenge, you know. So that's, I would say that the challenge is mainly the bureaucracy, all the paperwork you have to go through, you know, to get your approvals and all that with the council. And of course, also the money you have to invest. In our case, we're investing, like we wanted to do something really nice. We didn't want to do like just like a little gym in a garage, you know. We wanted to do something like properly from the beginning. So investing, we're putting a fair bit of money on that. It's only a small gym. Will be I think around 170 square meters.
Okay.
It's an ideal space to start with. It's not huge, but it's also not small. I think it's kind of medium size, which is great to start with. And we got a really good location, which is right next to the Kmart, pretty much.
Great.
So Kmart will be, they are our landlords in Port Macquarie. So, yeah, so that's pretty much the challenge, mainly bureaucracy and money.
You can offer like a $50 Kmart voucher for anyone who can beat you in a fight. Basically,
challenge. If they beat me in a fight, they can train for free. I want to learn with them.
That's right.
They can train me.
And for our listeners, Igor, where can you tell them where is Port Macquarie in relation to Australia? So, is it?
I want to get a map up and share my screen.
Yeah,
by the way.
Can you? Yeah, please, because it's. I know it's close to Byron Bay, yeah, but not in Byron Bay. It's in New South Wales, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of mid. I think it's called Mid North Coast, so it's pretty much south, 4 hours south of Sydney. So if you're in Sydney, it's pretty much 2 hours south. No, sorry, 2 hours north of
north,
Sydney.
It's between Sydney and Brisbane. Yeah.
Yes, so, 2 hours north of Sydney and 2 hours north of Newcastle.
Okay, so it's like a holiday town.
Yeah,
mostly?
Exactly. It's a popular holiday destination for people from Sydney and Newcastle. Awesome, Tara is from Newcastle, and she said that she grew up coming to Port Macquarie with her parents and family on holidays.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a beautiful town, man. It's amazing. It's really beautiful. When you decided, like, because, you know, in the beginning when you had the idea to open the gym and to put the plan forward, we considered a few different places. But some places, they were kind of too small, you know, just not enough people around and not much to do either. And then other places, I just, you know, when you don't connect with the place, I didn't really like that much because I was in Byron Bay, which is an amazing place, and I loved it. So I was like, if it's to leave Byron Bay, it has to be just like somewhere that I actually like it, because I actually love Byron Bay. So like, it has to be somewhere that I love as well, that I feel good on the space. And then we came to Port Macquarie. It was like, oh, okay, that's a good place. So it's a beautiful town. You know, it's really nice people. Everyone, you go around and meeting people, like talking to people in the cafes and restaurants, this sort of stuff. Everyone is just super nice and receptive with, you know, people coming from other places. And the town has a good size as well. It's a nice town too, and by the beach, waves around, so everything I wanted, you know. So tick all the boxes, pretty much. That's how we chose here,
man.
Other jiu-jitsu gyms there? Any other jiu-jitsu clubs in?
Yeah, there is one MMA gym that they have been here for a few years, and there is another jiu-jitsu gym that opened earlier this year, so it's a new gym as well.
It's growing, man. That's great.
Yeah, it's starting to grow now. I feel that. I heard that after COVID, you know, a lot of people moved here from the cities. Kind of same happened, I think, everywhere, like up and down the coast. People kind of trying to escape from the cities and looking for a new lifestyle.
Yeah.
My mind is going crazy.
Sorry, Anton,
Yeah, my mind is going crazy with marketing ideas for you, brother. So we should be in touch because I want to give you a stream of my thoughts that you can take or leave. But like, I
Yes, please.
I've gone through Port Macquarie many times, and like, I'm just thinking about combining surfing with jiu-jitsu or having a traveler's package for people who are passing through and are there for a few days, all these sorts of things. You know, when they're Googling things to do on their way through, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, because it's a good stopover. People coming, for example, from Gold Coast or Brisbane or even Byron Bay, for example, anywhere around the coast, going up to or going down to Sydney or Newcastle, or people from Sydney or Newcastle coming up the post. It's a good stopover.
Yeah.
You know, you stop, you can have some train, you can, for example, you can stop. We probably have we're still doing the timetable, but we have a lunch class. You can stop, do a lunch class, and then just keep traveling, you know, just get some sweat done.
Absolutely, man. That's going to be great, man. Good on you.
Are you open now, Igor, or to be opening soon? When is the opening?
Yeah, it should be opening soon. Our plan is to open in mid-January. Yeah, that's the goal, but it might be towards the end. It's still too soon to answer that because, you know, the renovations just started last week. So we are in the second week now of renovations. I was just there before starting the podcast, and then I started to put the walls up. You know, they have to put the ceiling because there is a lot to do in the space. The space was really raw. There was no walls, no ceiling, no air conditioning. You know, like, we still have to build all that. We're going to build a sprung floor as well. So after all that's done, we have to build the sprung floor to put the mats on top. So there's a fair bit of work to be done. But our plan is to open in kind of mid-Jan or towards the end of the month.
And what kind of culture are you going for there? Are you going for a murderer's gym or like a family gym? Or like?
Nah, definitely not. Nah, I actually don't like murderers. I like to train hard. People that know me, like, I like proper competition classes, but I understand that you need first to be capable to do it. Your body needs to be capable to do it. I've seen so many times people trying to push themselves too hard, and then they get injured. For example, this, let's say, 50-year-old dad trying to join the competition class, you know, out of shape. It's a fit dad. He can do it for sure, but out of shape dad.
Hang on. But I hear you, bro. Keep going.
But I'm talking about the out of shape 50-year-old dad trying to join a competition class and then getting injured and then having to spend months off the mat, sometimes not even coming back.
Absolutely.
So I want to do a class that fits everyone, you know, that everyone can do it. The people that like to train hard, they can train harder in this corner. The people that are more the hobbyist, you know, doing for the lifestyle and for the fun, they can train as well. So it's everyone has what they need. Eventually, when the gym grows, I can add proper competition classes and all that. In the beginning, it'll be probably a general class for everyone because in the beginning, I'll say that 90% of my students will be all beginners. So I have to do a class for them pretty much, you know. But yeah, it's a place that our vision, Ty and I, is a place for families, like that people can feel good. Yeah. You know, where someone can start training, can bring their wives to train, can bring their kids to train. You know, it's somewhere, it's an environment, a respectful environment for everyone, you know, that kind of caters to all necessities, to all the goals, you know, either if you want to compete or if you want just a lifestyle. So I feel pretty much.
Love it, man.
And the club you trained at before, Eagle, you said the Academy Byron Bay, was that where you got your black belt?
Yeah, I got my black belt at Southside, but I was training at the Academy, but it's because I was living in the Gold Coast, so training at Southside. And then I moved back to Byron Bay because, as I told you, I met Ty in Byron Bay. So we lived in Byron Bay for years, and then we moved to the Gold Coast pretty much to train because it was a period where the head coach left the gym in Byron, and then we kind of didn't, and the gym was just not very many people around. I wanted to train more because I wanted to compete. I had, you know, I was focusing focused on competing and all that. So I wanted some harder training. So I heard about Southside in the Gold Coast. That was pretty good. Actually, the head coach from Byron recommended me to go there. So I went there, and that's when I met Vicente Cavalcanti. At Southside. Yeah, and then I started training there. We lived in the Gold Coast for around next to 2 years. But then, because of work, I couldn't get much work in the Gold Coast. Then I ended up moving back to Byron. And then when I moved back to Byron, was the, at the end of my brown belt. So at my brown belt journey, I was close to be a brown belt for 2 years. So I was feeling that the black belt was coming because I won everything in brown belt competition wise, you know, Australian title, all the competitions I went to. So I knew that I didn't have much left to be done in the brown belt. And I knew that probably I would be promoted to black belt soon. So, but I had to move back to Byron because of work. And then because back then I wasn't working with jiu-jitsu. I was coaching a few classes, but not enough to make a living, you know, off jiu-jitsu. So I was still doing security. I worked as a security guard in Byron Bay for years as well in the Gold Coast too. And yeah, so when I moved to Byron Bay, that's when just a bit after that, Talisson went there as well, Talisson Suarez. And then Vicente told Talisson that he wanted to give me the black belt and asked Talisson's opinion. And Talisson agreed with that. And then they had the end of the year grading at Southside just a few months after that. And then Vicente invited me to go there. But I didn't know that I was getting the black belt. He was just inviting everyone pretty much because it's always a big party at Southside. It's the kind of end of the year grading and reunion. Mm-hmm. So Talisson went there as well. But they didn't tell me anything. And then Vicente eventually called my name there. And then Talisson came as well. And they both tied the black belt around my waist together. So wow. it was amazing. But it was actually like at Southside because it was at the Southside grading. But I was part of the academy. I always say that I was part of both teams. You know, I represent the academy and I always represent the Southside too. Because even when now that I was living in Byron as a black belt and teaching in Byron as well, classes there. I was still going to Southside pretty much every week or almost every week, you know, going to train at least like one session a week or something like that. Yeah, so I'm kind of friends with both teams.
Awesome, man. You were talking about winning everything at Brown. Were you in Masters? Are you in Masters yet? How old are you? I don't know how old you are now, but are you?
Yeah, I'm 35. I was Masters, but I was competing in adults. Yeah, right, I competed in adults.
That fascinates me, man. Like you started late and then you're winning comps. Like, I don't quite compute how, like, what makes you different and makes you beat younger who have been training hard or longer people? How does that work? Like, do you know what the answer is to that? Because I want to know.
I always have been an athlete since I'm a kid. I always loved sports. You know, I was a good soccer player in Brazil. So, like, I could even maybe try to be a professional in Brazil, but it was just too competitive. Mm-hmm. So it's a hard choice because sometimes you put your whole life into that. And then if it doesn't work, then you will have nothing. And in Brazil, it's a hard, you know, it's a third world country, hard to make a living. So I chose the kind of safer path that would be like do university, you know, that's why I did the law degree and all that. So I have always been good at sports since I'm a kid, you know, in multiple sports. Mm. So I feel that I had a good talent to jiu-jitsu. For my first training session, I remember that my very, very first day at that Monday that I told you guys when I went to the gym as a white belt, the guys that were looking at me to train was like, how long have you been training? I was like, no, that's my very first day. And they were like, what? Like, they couldn't believe because it was actually decent. Okay. You know, I kind of knew I had a good instinct. That's what I call it. I didn't have the technique, but I had a good instinct. And I was also really athletic, which helps a lot. You know, I did capoeira as well as a kid, you know, doing all the backflips and all that stuff. That I feel that gives you a lot of balance, a lot of coordination, sense of body awareness, you know, that helps in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Different than someone that goes and starts jiu-jitsu without any background at all or anything. Mm-hmm. Because you need to learn how to move your body first. In my case, when I started jiu-jitsu, I already knew that, I already had that. So I think you kind of jump one step. It's one less step that you have to learn because I already knew that. And I also from the beginning I got fascinated on how technical jiu-jitsu was, because when you're just watching it, you don't really get that, you know, that invisible jiu-jitsu that Hickson Gracie talks about a lot, that you can't really see, especially when you don't, even as a black belt, sometimes you don't really see the details when you're just watching a position. But when somebody does on you, you feel it. And it's like, okay, angles, you know, and little adjustments and little details that make the position works and all that. So I got fascinated with that on how technical it is. And that made me study jiu-jitsu a lot.
Nice.
You know, so from the beginning, from the very first day, I would go on YouTube and just be studying jiu-jitsu all the time. Back then, like, didn't have many DVDs or all that around. It was more YouTube stuff, YouTube videos. Mm. And I don't like losing, so that's the thing. Every day I went into the gym.
You're talking YouTube. Just make
Yeah, so I don't like losing. So every time someone, if I went to the gym and someone, for example, swept me from half guard, I would start, okay, I can't be swept from half guard anymore. And I would go home and I would put on YouTube how to avoid being swept from half guard. And I would be studying what I had to do.
Nice.
Or like I tried to pass someone's guard. I was like, I couldn't pass someone's guard. And then I would study different ways to pass the guard. So I always study jiu-jitsu a lot. So I feel that that fast forward my progress a lot, you know, just pretty much studying and learning jiu-jitsu a lot, like by myself, like in this case online. So I feel that that helps a lot. It's just pretty much trying to be technical instead of just using strength, because I was a strong guy. So I could use brute strength, but I always like technique in every sport. All the sports I mentioned to you guys I did before, even on surfing. Surfing is an extremely technical sport. So I always try to have good technique and all that. And people actually got impressed the level of surfing I had, considering that how big I was, because I was just, I looked like this kind of gym bodybuilder guy, you know, but I actually had skills. But because of that, because of this mindset that I always had on technique, on try to actually learn the technique of things, that I brought that to jiu-jitsu, and I feel that I improved a lot faster because of that.
Yeah, amazing.
And we've only got about 4 minutes left, but nicknames. Have you got any nicknames, and can you tell us about those?
I feel like Kim's she knows something.
I may or may not have messaged your wife before this podcast to ask for some advice.
It's a bit of a coincidence, because my first professor in Brazil, Lucio, he used to call me Monstro, which is monster in English. And then Vicente nicknamed me the same thing. He calls me Monstro as well. It means monster, but I think it's, I think probably because of my size and because I like to train hard.
That's why they call Kim, because she's huge as well.
So. I know my husband. My husband also, Tiago, also uses that same nickname for Theo, who edits his podcast too, by the way.
Shout out to Theo. I've been pissing Theo off lately with my levels of reliability. Sorry, Theo. Man, one other thing I will say, like, your obsession about jiu-jitsu and your obsession about the technique is great. I've noticed this balance, and we've only got 3 minutes left, but I feel like we've opened up a conversation that's important. Like, is there a balance between teaching yourself and following your coach? Because, like, I love that you advance so quickly by doing your own research. Does that sidetrack people, though? Does that, like, I've sometimes seen coaches get pissed off because their students are doing too much of their own research. What are your views in 3 minutes or less?
I feel that you always have to listen to your coach, because your coach knows more than you, especially when you're a beginner. But in my case, what worked really well for me was to take feedback from my own rounds. Like I told you, every time someone would submit me on something or score a point on me or pass my guard, you know, something like that, I would actually take that feedback and say, okay, I need to improve that. Because a class is always a general class for everyone, you know, so, and you have different levels in the class. So you can always, of course, work on that, and because your professor will show you new stuff that you wouldn't learn if he didn't show you that. So it's always good.
Mm.
But also, in my case, as I said, what worked well for me was just taking feedbacks from my own rounds, and then I was analyzing my own deficiencies. You know, for example, in the beginning, it was good passing guard because I was strong, I was fast, so it's good passing guard using my agility, my strength to pass the guard. But I had no idea how to play guard, because it's a whole different thing. So I was like, okay, I need to learn how to play guard. And then I start to learn guard retention and all that, you know, about all this, all online as well. Of course, you work a little bit of that at the gym, but like I said, at the gym is a class, it's a classmate for everyone, not for you in particular. But you can take the feedback from your own rounds and see where your deficiencies are and see what you need to improve and then work on that. Mm. I feel that if you follow this recipe, I think that it won't fail. And I never really understood coaches that don't like people studying online. I don't see a reason for that. I feel that that's always good. It's like you go to university or to school. You know, if you just watch the class, what the professor is saying, you learn this much. But if you actually take that and then you go home and you study even more of that or even more about other stuff, you just know a lot more. You know, you learn a lot more than you would if you didn't.
That's beautiful, brother.
Awesome. I think that's a really good place to finish up. Thank you so much, Igor, for giving up your time.
No worries.
And anybody that's traveling in the Port Macquarie area, please check out Evolve BJJ opening soon. And
we look forward to
seeing you.
Epic. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the space.
Pleasure, yeah.
First podcast done.
Awesome, yeah, brother.
Definitely
awesome.
Not too bad. All right. Thank you. We'll see you soon.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Peace. Bye.